You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast, a special edition of the Racing Podcast. For no other reason than we've got a rather special race to look forward to. It's Alex Dunn in the presenter's chair. Kevin O'Malley sat opposite me. Kev, it's nearly national time.
I love it.
I'm so excited for it. I really am. There are some things that you kind of go, oh, I'll play it cool about this. The Grand National, I am openly giddy for every single year.
Me too. We had an emailer last night that was saying that it's a joke of a race and no professional punters would go near it and all that kind of stuff. But I'd absolutely love the National. I think if you're trying to just find one horse, you're going to struggle to find the winner. But if you have a few bites of the cherry and the race is set up to do that, you know, you can get a tidy little profit from the race just from each way bets alone sometimes.
And the interest it brings, not just in the racing world, but outside of the racing world, is... As racing fans, it's actually quite nice, I think.
It is, and you know, the modern national course lends itself to more of a safe spectacle and an enjoyable spectacle for the once a year viewer, so to speak. Obviously, on Saturday we're going to have some soft ground, so it will be a little bit more testing than in other years. But at the same time, they might just go half a stride slower throughout the race. The fences are easier these days, so the horses should be able to get over them, and hopefully there won't be too much trouble in running.
Yes, we'll get to the runners and riders shortly. We're going to go through the first few in the betting and have a little profile of each of them, and then we'll get to any slightly juicier prices. Now, it is worth noting, if you looked at the race cards on Thursday, maybe once the decks were through, you might have thought, right, there's me 40 done and dusted.
Yeah,
not so.
No, there's been a lot of changes.
We've got number one, Manila Rocco, out of the contest on account of the ground, being replaced by Thunder and Roses. And, as we record this only half an hour ago, Vicente out of the race. That's going to go for the Scottish National, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And as a result, Delusion of Grandeur sneaks in for Sue Smith. As we're recording this, what time are we? 20 to 1. I think they've got 20 minutes, haven't they, to...
Yeah.
If anything else is going to drop out. So I think we'd be unlucky if we do miss one.
Yeah, hopefully we won't get the same as a couple of years ago where there was one late non-runner and a horse didn't get in.
Yeah.
Really, I think they should extend that 1 o'clock, maybe until the evening or even the morning of. But
yeah,
it is what it is. We've had a couple of changes, but the field is more or less as it will be now. So
yes. Right, the betting. Mm. Tiger Roll 11 to 1, 12 to 1, Black Lion and Annabelle Fly, as well as Total Recall. 14 to See You at Midnight. 16 to 1 for By Desiel, and 18 to The Last Samurai and I Just Know. Also 18 to 1 is Captain Redbeard. 20s for Uccello Conti. Regal Encore is 25 to 1 with Gasline Boy and The Dutchman. 28 to 1 for Chantou Flyer. Violi en Rouge 33s with Chase the Spud, Raz de Marais. Milan's Bar is also 33s. 40 to 1, Alfa de Zobo. Vicente, who's still in the betting here but will not be taking part. Pleasant Company is 40s. So is Bless the Wings and Final Nudge. 50 to 1, Carlingford Lock, Warrior's Tale, Bywise, Ublon de Zobo. 66s and bigger the rest. In fact, I'm going to mention them anyway. 66 to 1 for Valsalido, Saint Arve, Virgilio, Lord Windermere, Road to Riches and Thunder and Roses. 80 to 1 Perfect Candidate and Pendra, also 80s for Children's List, Delusion of Grandeur, 100 to 1 for Beeves, Maggio, Double Ross and Walk in the Mill, and Tenor Nivenay is 150 to 1.
The rag. I'll tell you what.
You've got to mention them all, haven't you? You've got to.
Yeah, of course. There's an awful lot of very classy horses that are trading at around 66 to 1 there.
Yeah, I think there'll be one that'll be an absolute flyer tomorrow.
One will pop up. Yeah. One will pop up and come second or third at a massive price. Something like Valsalido or something like that will crop up. But we'll
interesting. That's on my shortlist.
Yeah.
We'll get to them in a bit.
We'll get to that in a bit.
No one really cares about my shortlist, but I'll chuck it in at the end anyway.
Yeah.
Let's start by talking about what is currently the favourite and what I expect to go off the favourite as well. I think we'll see a lot of money tomorrow for Tiger Roll. It is the most solid horse in the lineup, surely. So versatile over any distance, whatever fence you throw at it, I think Tiger Roll could be a shorty in the end.
He could well be. You have to have a massive admiration for the horse. I mean, he's just so adaptable to different, you know, a Triumph Hurdle winner to do what he's done since then has been quite tremendous. I mean, he's not the type of horse that follows up a win with another one very often. You know, he peaks for Cheltenham, and that would be my worry with him. He may well take to it. He may well take to the course and run an absolute blinder, but he wouldn't be for me, Alex.
Okay, so you're taking Tiger Roll on. Black Lion, 12-1. Does the horse stay the trip?
I thought he was an absolute stone-bonking certainty for last year's race. I backed him heavily, and I thought he would win, and I thought he would win until after the last. And at that point, I said to myself, I'm going to back this horse next year. He'll win it next year. But as time's gone by, I just think it's going to be really difficult for him. He's carrying top weight now, right, as well?
He will be, yeah.
You know, I think he's 9 or 10 pounds higher than he was last year. Comes into the race in the back of a poor run after wind up. The wind up may or may not work. So, yeah, I mean, there's a few little... It's going to be tough for Black Lion, bottom line.
Okay.
You could easily see him being bang on the premises again. But for the win, I think he's going to struggle.
Annibal Fly next in, 12-1.
Third in the Gold Cup. Excellent run that was. Safe enough jumper, could creep into it. I'm just not sure. I mean, the handicapper's due to put him up £9 after this race, so technically he's well handicapped. He would probably be my pick from those at the top of the market as things stand. But I'm taking on the entirety of the top of the market.
Okay.
Got no interest in it.
Total Recall is also 12-1, a horse that I've got a lot of time for. I will end up backing tomorrow. I'm actually gutted I didn't take a bigger price earlier on in the season, because it's been pretty certain that he was going to turn up here, but he did fall in the Gold Cup.
He did fall. I mean, he fell when going well in the Gold Cup, but that doesn't mean that he would have won the Gold Cup had he stayed standing.
Mm.
And it's a clear clear thing that people need to be clear about. But he is a very good horse. He won the Hennessy. He's unexposed. I just think he might lack a little bit of experience and overall gumption to win a race like this. And he's just not—he's just one of those horses I haven't really warmed to.
Nope, fair enough. 14-1 for See You at Midnight.
Oh.
For Sandy Thompson, a horse who had a real struggle getting a run this season.
Yes.
Did run at Newbury, possibly a little too close to this, but has been well backed and has changed owners.
If this horse wins, I'm going on holiday.
Oh.
Yeah.
What kind of holiday are we talking? Are we talking like...
A nice one.
are we talking sort of a couple of days in Paris? Are we talking a week in...
We might be talking a week in Lanzarote.
Oh, right.
Maybe.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah, not quite the Caribbean, but...
Right.
Yeah, we'll stay... Spain would do. But anyway, I mean, I put up See You at Midnight straight after the weights came out. I looked at it, I thought, on his mark of 149, he had 10 stone 11. He's got lots and lots of classy form. He was a very good novice. Preparation-wise, it's a concern, obviously. You'd like to have seen him get maybe two or three runs in this season. But other than that, he's got a fantastic landing gear. I think this horse is going to really enjoy the fences, especially the lower, easier nature of the fences.
Mm.
I think he should be able to stay out of trouble. I think he'll stay. The ground is absolutely perfect for him. Sandy Thompson is well able to get a horse ready for a big target. And I can see You at Midnight running an absolute blinder. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't. My only concern for him, of course, is just whether or not he has that sheer resilience required at the business end, given his interrupted preparation.
Okay. 14-1, though, for See You at Midnight. Bide's Eel has been really well backed this week.
Can't win.
16-1 now.
Can't win. No chance.
Is it because she's a seven-year-old, she's a mare, and she's ridden by Katie Walsh, and trends would say that's not a good thing?
It wouldn't be so much Katie Walsh.
No.
Katie Walsh is a top-class jockey, period.
Yep.
So it wouldn't be that, but she's a seven-year-old. No seven-year-old has won since 1940. That's a long time ago, Alex. The trend is there to be broken, I suppose, and did run a very nice race at Punchestown.
And she's got her conditions.
Yes.
And she stays fun.
Yes.
But she's not very fast.
No, but I think the race is going to suit that type of horse. They'll just keep finding a little bit. Again, if she jumps, she stays out of trouble. If she's not intimidated by the occasion and by having lots and lots of boys around her, then she could go well. But she has an all-merciful task in front of her, that's for sure.
And Katie Walsh, of course, riding for her husband, Russell Sullivan.
What a story that would be.
There's the story.
Yeah.
There's always a story, isn't there?
I mean, there'll be a story whatever wins.
True. You can make up a
story. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even if Gordon Elliott wins. Oh, it's Gordon. Well, of course he won the National. It's Gordon Elliott. He's won everything this year.
The Last Samurai is 18-1. a standing dish in these this race now. Clearly likes the fences, but has he had better opportunities than this in other years?
Well, he was well beaten in the race last year. I strongly fancied him for the 2016 edition. Again, very much like Black Lion, I thought he was a certainty. Got into the frame, ran a big race for me. I mean, I think he's just waited up to the hilt now, and I think his chance may just have gone. But at the same time, if you fancy him, he's 18-1, top industry price with William Hill, and he could give you a very good each way run for your money.
18-1 as well. Bit of money coming for I Just Know, Sue Smith and Danny Cook. This has been a bit of a, I was going to say a talking horse, a quiet talking horse, a whispering horse in the last week.
Well, Luke Elder won't shut up about him, so he's definitely a talking horse on that front. but I mean, look, Sue Smith is an absolute genius when it comes to staying handicap chases. That's just a fact. This horse is very consistent. He's going to stay well. He handles the ground. He's got a nice racing weight. He's the right age at 8. So he does tick a lot of boxes. Again, it just comes down to whether or not they have that real resilience in them to compete in a race like this, given how unique it is. He's not on my short list, but I respect him.
Captured Redbeard, 20s into 18s as well, has had a cracking season, is for a lesser known yard, if you like, and a lesser known jockey as well, Sam Coulter doing the steering. Again, would be a story, but this is a big ask. I'm surprised to see Captain Redbeard as short as he is.
Yeah, I mean, he's been subject to quite a lot of support in recent days. His form is sound enough. He hasn't done much on the clock, though. And I mean, I know that speed figures are not as prominent in this race as they would be for others, but at the same time, he hasn't really impressed himself on the clock much this season. So that would be enough to put me off him. I understand that the conditions will be ideal for him. He's consistent and he's in form. You have to respect that. But again, he just wouldn't be on my short list.
And the final of the individual profiles that we're going to do at the head of the market is Uccello Conti, who's 20-1. Daryl Jacob on board, pulled up last time, but again has had a good go round here in the past. Did unseat last year though.
Yes, I mean, he's just been a horse that's been talked of as the ideal type for this race for quite some time. I just feel like he's had his chances. It's not ideal that he comes into the race after being pulled up. As I say, I just think he's had his chances. He's nicely weighted, and obviously the stable are on absolute fire in 2018 so far. So you wouldn't put it past him winning, but he does have a lot to do.
Okay, so slightly bigger prices. Where should we start?
I like the likes of Shantou Flyer, Milan's Bar, a couple of horses there. Shantou Flyer, who I backed at, both of these are on my shortlist. I've backed both of them. Shantou Flyer I backed at Cheltenham. I thought he was very unlucky not to win there. It would have made my entire week if he did, but he didn't, and that's just the way it is.
28-1, Shantou Flyer.
Again, he's going to love the ground. I think he should stay the trip. He's usually a very safe jumper, and he's just one of those horses that could just creep into it from behind if he can get into a rhythm. He'll have to be ridden with a bit of confidence and ridden for luck, that's for sure. But I could see him running a big race, Shantou Flyer. He arrives in form. He's very consistent and conditions will suit. Milan's Bar, again, he's just a plodder. You know, he's just going to keep finding. The ground is absolutely perfect for him. And, you know, he's the right age and everything else. And he does tick quite a few boxes. So for me, I'm just looking at, I'm actually siding with quite a few UK horses this year and not so much the Irish contingent, just because I think, you know, all of the staying handicap chases this season have been ran on very poor ground, and it will be testing ground at Aintree, that's for sure. So I think it will. I think there's a good clutch of solid staying chasers trained in the UK that could go very well here. And Milan's Bar and Shantou Flyer are certainly two of them. Even Final Nudge. What price is Final Nudge with? It's about 66-1, probably.
Final Nudge is 40-1
40.
From 50s being backed.
Bit of a nibble. He's never won a class 2 or class 1 race, which is a concern, since every single winner, I think, for the last 27 years or something like that has won a class 1 or class 2 race en route to this. But he was third in the Welsh Grand National. I fancied him that day, backed him. I was in the studio for it. And again, conditions, he's going to stay, just keep finding a little bit. He's jumping, he can hit a fence or two, which is a little bit of a concern, but he does travel really well, you know. And if he gets into a rhythm, Final Nudge, it'd be no surprise to see him in amongst it late in the day. So yeah, I mean, my short list is kind of materialising a little bit now, with See You at Midnight, Shantou Flyer, Milan's Bear, Final Nudge, and the last one I'll mention is Houblon des Obeaux.
Ah, interesting.
Myself, Mounty put him up on GG a couple of days ago, but literally about an hour before he put that up, we didn't know that we both fancied at the same time. I tweeted that Houblon des Oboe at 100-1 that he was at the time. Yeah. It was a big, big price. So I backed him at 100-1. I've backed him again at 66-1. I don't know what price he is now.
He's 50s now.
Which is fair. I mean,
Felicia's had a great week.
Yeah, she's had a fab week. Usually she comes alive in November time, that kind of time of year, but that didn't really materialise for her. But, you know, the ground has stayed soft for her horses and they're just coming right at the right time. Houblon des Oboe has got stacks of experience in staying handicap chases. He was 10th in the race, so he did complete the race last year. That was on livelier ground, and he was coming from behind that day. I'd like to see him race a little bit more prominently this year, just to get into a good jumping rhythm near the pace, utilise his stamina, utilise his ability to handle testing ground. And, you know, he could run a really big race, Houblon des Oboe, if Venetia has him absolutely singing.
Okay.
Now, yeah. your shortlist.
Well, of the ones at the head of affairs, I think Tiger Roll is rock solid.
Yeah, I should say that if I was to pick one from the top of the market, yeah, I'd go Animal Fly.
Okay.
But the ones that I've actually backed in my shortlist be the ones I mentioned before.
Tiger Roll and Total Recall of big interest, but I'll probably only back Total Recall. I say that. I haven't had a bet yet in the race, and I won't have a big bet tomorrow. But they're the two at the head of affairs that I'm sort of like, I can't see them out the frame. Mm. And then at bigger prices, I like Valsalido, I like Road to Riches, I like Chase the Spud, and I like the Dutchman.
The Dutchman is one we didn't mention, but yeah, he has been really progressive this year, hasn't he?
25-1 for Colin Tizard.
Not ideal that he pulled up last time out.
No.
But,
and
you know,
just an 8-year-old as well. But again, well, light conditions, I think it's the right price. I don't think it's knockout value as such.
I just wonder whether he has the absolute experience over fences.
Yes. Chase the Spud is a 10-year-old, is a big enough price. Again, with Paddy Brennan on board, you could just see this one picking up the pieces, running into a place more than anything.
Yeah.
As we've seen horses in the silks do,
yeah,
plenty of times in the National.
Indeed.
And basically anything that is owned by Jigginstown coming into this, you could kind of give a sweet to, because they've got enough backlash, haven't they? A lot of them have got. You mentioned Valsalido earlier, who's a huge price, and likewise Road to Riches has just sneaked in. I mean, you're going back a while, but third in a Gold Cup behind Coney Gree. You're relying on a horse coming back to some kind of form, but Road to Riches in particular has got no weight to speak of.
Yeah, and he's a class horse in his day.
If you're throwing a few darts at the board.
I can mention one or two kind of trend stats for the race if you wanted to.
Yes, please.
I mean, in terms of the age of the horse, in recent decades, like, the golden window for a Grand National winner has been between 8 and 12 years old. But the last 12-year-old winner was Amberley House back in 2004. Mm. Since then, 10 of the last 13 winners were aged between 8 and 10. There was like a three-year cluster of 11-year-olds, wasn't there, between 2012 and 2014.
Yeah.
Said before, no 7-year-old has won the race since 1940. No 13-year-old has won the race since 1923. And as I say, since 1990, only two 12-year-olds have managed to win, which is a negative for the likes of Carlingford Lock, Gasline Boy, Centaur, Lord Windermere and Double Ross. Most of those are fair outsiders, but really you want a horse this age between 8 and 11. That's kind of the key age bracket, so to speak. In terms of weight and class, you know, the two go hand in hand when it comes to handicap races, but history shows us how important weight is in the Grand National. Since 1988, only 7 horses carried 11 stone or more to victory. 4 of the last 5 winners carried 11 stone or less.
See, that's interesting, because people talk about nowadays the National
being a better race and
being
all of that.
A better race and one for classier horses, but particularly in this ground, you could almost see it reverting to type old school punting.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
kind of back something with a nice low weight that jumps well and stays.
That's it. That
sounds easy.
That is exactly my position this year. Back something that jumps well and stays on the ground. But they say that the race is getting better and that, you know, it lends itself to horses winning with bigger weights. But the recent evidence shows the complete opposite, because 4 of the last 5 winners carried 10 stone 11 or less.
Yeah.
The only exception being Many Clouds, who is you know, one of the outstanding staying chasers of recent times. So. Yeah, I mean, the race does still very much lend itself to horses carrying low weights. That's not to say that horses of all walks of life can get into the frame, but in terms of a profile for the winner, history does show us quite a few things.
So if I was to give you, how many selections have you got? 4?
4 or 5, yeah. Yeah.
Go on, give us them again.
Who have we got? We've got Sue at Midnight.
Yep.
Shantou Flyer. Milan's Bear, Hublin des Oboes, and Final Nudge.
And I'll throw in the mix. I'll go Total Recall, Valsolido, The Dutchman, and Road to Riches.
Cool.
So we've managed to get most of the field there.
Yeah.
And we haven't agreed on anything.
No, we haven't.
And we've still probably won off.
But it's just, look, it's just that kind of race, isn't it? The majority of people are just going to pick their favourite names.
Yeah.
My main fancy in the race is See You at Midnight.
Right.
So I'll pinpoint him as my main bet in the race.
But I mean, there's horses that we've not even spoken about that could quite feasibly. We've not mentioned Gasline Boy. We've not mentioned Carlingford Lock. We've not mentioned the outside of the field, Tenor Nivenay. If you're giving one of Venetia's a chance,
yeah,
she's in form, you could probably have to give that one, I say, a squeak.
Regal Encore, he won last time out. He's quirky but talented. Even Maggio, he's 100-1 shot, but he's consistent.
St. R, we've not mentioned.
St. R.
Loves it,
you know, loves it around here. Former Gold Cup winner.
Rasta Murray won the Welsh National.
You know, even Bywise.
Yes, little Bywise.
Little Bywise. I mean,
No, Leighton Aspel.
One or two Shrewdies fancy him.
Yeah.
One or two Shrewdies fancy him. I mean, Leighton Aspel fancied him as soon as he won on him at Sandown.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was, you know, he told Evan Williams, put this horse away for the National. So there you go, a little interesting dark snippet.
We've not mentioned Lord Windermere, former Cheltenham Gold Cup winner.
I just mentioned him a minute ago.
Okay, we've not mentioned. There's so many horses.
So many horses.
We've not mentioned Bless the Wings, another Gordon Elliott one. You wouldn't be surprised if that was to
run well. He's a 13-year-old. It wouldn't surprise you if he ran well, but that 13-year-old stat is dead against him, isn't it?
Yeah, true. What a race. What a race in prospect.
It is indeed.
So fingers crossed for one of your selections, Kev, or one of mine, or one of yours, listeners. Just enjoy it.
I think it's
a race to be savoured.
A race to be savoured. And the one thing we want at the end of the day is all horses and riders to get back safe and sound. That's the number one thing we want tomorrow. After that, if we get a winner or one in the frame, then it'll be very good. Maybe we can afford to buy the takeaway in the evening.
Quite possibly. We are going to just mention one other race on the card.
Aye.
Because it's such a good card. And it almost feels like neglect to not touch on the rest of it too much. But the Liverpool Hurdle at 4:20, a race that in the past has gone to some really, really classy types. Whisper won this race 2 years in a row. Big Books won it 4 years in a row. What else have we got in there? Solwit, Thistlecrack, Yanworth, further back to the likes of Monet's Garden. I'd say that there isn't anything quite of that ilk this time around.
No.
Is it a weak renewal?
I wouldn't say it's a weak renewal. It's, you know, with Sam Spinner there, he represents the best UK form on offer this season. He's worthy of his place at the top of the market. One or two interesting horses that could run well at big prices. The World's End, you'd have to respect what he's done. Little Rockefeller, if he puts his best foot forward. Lamy Surge is declared but unlikely to run. Identity Thief is the dark horse in the race and finished fourth in the Champion Hurdle and takes a significant step up in trip for Henry de Bromhead. He's only an 8-year-old still and doesn't have many miles on the clock. So Identity Thief is an interesting one in that race for sure. But I think my fancy might well be Holstone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's just as consistent as they come. And as much as he does really like Cheltenham, I think he'll handle entry just as well. So I think Holstone would be my fancy for that race.
Okay. And Daryl Jacob, who had a fantastic Thursday. We're recording this prior to Friday's racing, so we can't speculate on what he's done on Friday. But it'll be nice to see him going close again. Just going back to the National, because of course you have to. Am I right in thinking that now Noel Fearley and Richard Johnson are without rides as we record this?
Really?
Well, Noel Fearley was meant to be on Manila Rocco.
Right, yeah.
And Richard Johnson, I don't think, has ever been on one, so to speak. But then there are horses now in the race that maybe weren't expected to be in the race.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes down to the stories, in recent years, some of the better stories and better winners have come from jockeys that, you know, have made their name purely from this race.
Yeah, true.
So it provides a real good platform for some of the lesser-known jockeys to have their day in the sun.
And I was going to say normally, it's normally Ruby Walsh who has a fall on the morning of the, or not on the morning, but during the racing on Saturday afternoon. There may well be that there's spares to be picked up, and that could be the story in itself.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, we'll have to see how they go.
I'm looking forward to it. It's the Grand National. It's coming up at 5:15 on Saturday. Thank you, Kevin O'Malley.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Good luck with your fancies. The same to you, listeners. Fingers crossed that you can manage to salvage something anyway. And as Kev said, fingers crossed that all horses and jockeys return home safe and sound. The 2018 Grand National here on William Hill Racing Radio. And just before you do go and enjoy the Grand National, we'll throw some more selections in the mix. Here are the thoughts of William Hill TV pundits Gordon Brown, Andrew Thornton, Stephen Powell, Sean Quinn, and then Sir Anthony McCoy. Best of luck in the National.
Well, it gives you an idea about the Grand National, just how tough it is. The very first winner was called Lottery, and that's what it is, an absolute lottery. Better horses do win it this year, and I think Black Lion could be the one to be on. Had a little bit of a wind operation since disappointing at Haydock Park, but I was at Aintree towards Christmas last year when it romped to victory over the big fences in the Betfair Chase. So Sam Twiston Davis riding Black Lion for his dad Nigel, for me, to win the Grand National.
Also, I fancy for the Grand National this year is Saint R, trained by Tom George. He's an each-way price, he's quite a big price. He's got form in the race on two occasions as well. Hasn't been out the first four in either. And for me, he beat Black Lion last year and he's going to start one of the favourites in the race. So for me, I'm with Saint R each way.
Well, it does seem to get more difficult every year when it comes down to finalising the selections for the Grand National. And there's about three horses lining up this time around that I backed and didn't win for me last year. So I'm going to look at a new one, and that is I Just Know. Trained by Sue Smith, who of course has had the winner before. Stays Well won the North Yorkshire National at Catterick back in January and kept on well with the spin over hurdles last time out. Good each way price as well for I Just Know in the big race.
Total Recall has done nothing but improve this season, winning the Hennessy at the start of the year, of course, at Newry. Won a valuable handicap hurdle at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival. He was in the process of running a very good race in this year's Gold Cup at the Cheltenham Festival when coming to grief 4 hours. I'm not saying he would have won that day, but I've got a strong feeling he would have fought out minor honours. He looks to be on a fair racing weight for this year's Grand National, and I think he can add to Willie Mullins' tally in the race.
I think this year's Grand National will be dominated by two owners, that's JP McManus and Jigginstown. I think Jigginstown's best runners are probably Tiger Roll, who has won at three Cheltenham Festivals. He won the Triumph Hurdle, he won the 4 Miler, and he won this year's cross country race as well. He's a pretty good jumper and he obviously stays very well. Alpha de Zobo, that one of the other runners, he has a good chance too. He won the Clonmel All Chase earlier on in the season. His form has tailed off a little bit, but he's a horse with a bit of class. But I think Annabelle Fly is the one they've all got to beat in the Grand National. His third in the Gold Cup is rock solid. If he can repeat that performance, I think he can win this year's Grand National.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.